Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, OMG, I'm Freaking Out, where we talk about siblings and selling out, and we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is episode 211. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you guys? What's going on over there?
We're good. We're good. Okay, so we continue to have messed up sleep over here, but I'm not going to talk about it this week because it's boring.
It's a snooze, literally. Yeah,
it's a snooze.
No, literally not. Okay. I confused myself.
Anti-literally, I don't know. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But I won't belabor that point, but just in case people are curious, it's still a problem. I did get to watch the first 30 minutes of the Dr. Becky course.
Oh, okay. That's progress.
Actually, I didn't even watch it. I like walked around listening to it in my headphones. But it's just kind of like a Zoom call. There's really no visuals, so it was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully I'll have more to talk about next week. Next week, I'll be like, everything's perfect and fine.
cool.
But I do want to talk about some wonderful things that have happened this week. I'll start with Sebastian, because I feel like last week he kind of got a little bit of like a afterthought check-in. He's just so cute, this little guy. He's just like he's a little spitfire. Like, he has so much personality and he's so hilarious and so independent. But the thing I wanted to check in about this week is that he has suddenly started being very intentional with how he uses the sign for more.
Okay.
Like, he's done the sign for more before when it's come to like food, basically. You know, we'll be at the table eating and I'll say, are you all done? And he'll sign more. And I'll say, okay, here, have some, you know, Bombas or whatever we're having.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's using it for all kinds of things. Like, anytime he wants more attention, loving. Like, he's sort of expanded his understanding of it's not like a quantity thing, right? As much as it is like, again, it's like being used for again or and he kind of says again. He'll like do it and say again. And I'm like, oh, I think he's saying again. But I wanted to send you a video. Unfortunately, I can't post this to our socials because he was like basically naked when I took this video. But you guys can hear the audio. And Shauna, you get to see his signing for more in this situation.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm sending it over.
All right, let's see.
Do you want more kisses? More kisses? Okay. More? Okay. Oh. Okay. Whoa. More? More kisses for my baby. Okay, one more time, okay? Oh, I love you.
Oh, that's so cute. He loves the kisses from mama.
I know. Like, how could I not give him more kisses when he's like lying there being so adorable and signing more like with the sweetest little face?
You would have to be a monster to reject that.
Yes, you absolutely would. So for just for context, he's lying on the nugget in his diaper. This is before bedtime and just signing more. Anytime I stop giving him kisses, he just signs more. Except for when he has a little cough and then he kind of like pats his chest. That's just really cute.
So cute.
So it's really fun to see that sort of intentionality, you know? Like, it just shows that he's really understanding the communication aspect of it, which I really like. And it just is very fun. And he uses it for everything now, you know? Like, if the garbage truck goes by and is gone, he signs more. He wants more garbage truck and stuff.
Aww.
Yeah. So that is super cute and I'm loving it.
Awesome.
And I should say he's still 16 months old. Still trucking along in 16 months. And Augie, he's had some fun developments this week. This week, we took him to his very first sports class.
Ooh, what sport did he sign up for?
Okay, well, here's the thing. The Glendale, like, Parks and Recreation Department has this class they do where it's like a multi-sport class. So it's 8 weeks and you do 2 weeks of like each sport to just try it out. And I thought that would be, you know, good to see if he had any natural inclinations for anything. So
that's brilliant, because, you know, signing a kid up for like a whole season of a sport that they've never really even thought about, tried or heard of, you might get stuck, you know, and they might hate it or whatever. So
yeah,
that's so smart. I should see if there's something like that up here.
You know, they might, because when I went to their website, I saw a map that had like all their locations and they were all over like the LA area. So okay. I think it's called Best, B-E-S-T, Sports. They're like subcontracted through Glendale. But I'll send you a link. Okay. And so it's soccer, baseball, basketball, and track and field.
Cute.
In that order. So the first 2 weeks are soccer, which is, you know, such a classic first sport for toddlers. Mm-hmm. And so we showed up. I, you know, lugged the toddler along. And, you know, Corey and I both went because it was on the weekend. And we went to this park nearby, really beautiful park, and showed up. And it's a class for 2 to 4 year olds, which is, you know, it's an adorable age, but it's a big age range. Like 4 year olds and 2 year olds are very different in what they can focus on, what they can do physically, you know. So it was a bit of a shit show.
Like, yeah, I would imagine.
And on day one, I think there were like at least 20 kids there for the class, which is like way too much for one instructor to manage. I mean, the parents were expected to be involved, but still it was like we could barely hear him. It was a class in quotes, you know what I mean? Like some instruction, lots of snack breaks.
Yes.
But it was really cute. So I sort of stayed with Sebastian while Corey helped with the class. And Augie, he hung in there for like 20, 25 minutes. It was like a 40-minute class, right? So he hung in there for about half of it before he got distracted and was like, I want to go play in the playground.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is pretty good for almost 3.5-year-old.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the chaotic nature of the class, like it's, I think if there were like 5 students and 1 teacher, he would sit there and like, or stand there and listen to them and do the drills. But with all those people around, I don't think he saw the point. He like couldn't even really hear the teacher. So
yeah, and with the lure of the playground off in the distance.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. So I think he did pretty well, and I got to watch some of it, and he got to do some drills, you know, he was kicking and doing his soccer stop and stuff. So it was cute. It was really sweet. And then the other thing that Augie did this week that was a first was I'm pretty sure he made his first like representative figurative drawing.
Oh, awesome.
So I know like your kids have been little art savants since they were tiny and like are really, really into drawing, especially Elle. Like I listen to you talk about like the stuff she does and I see the pictures hanging on the wall. I'm like, Augie does not do that. Like he likes to scribble on the paper, you know, like he will make a circle every once in a while, but he's just not into, you know, he's into he's a process artist, right? But we went to Kids Space, which we love. And I guess they usually have a clay station in the back, like all the way in the back. But that day they didn't have clay. They had charcoal. And I guess he was making a charcoal drawing. He was with Corey and I was with the baby. So all I know is that they come up to me at some point like, well, there you guys are. What have you been up to? And Augie says, I made a drawing. Look, look. And it's like rolled up in a scroll and like we have to take the tie off and unscroll it. And I said, oh, honey. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, this looks like something to me, but I don't want to like project my grown up assessment on it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to be like, oh, did you draw a blank? So I was just like, oh, honey, that's so cool. Did you draw something? What is it? And I'm going to send you the photo so you can take a guess what it is.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Okay. Nice charcoal work here. We've got a pretty solid circle, spherical shape in the center with some wisps coming up the sides. I would say like a fire, like a campfire maybe.
Interesting. Here, let me send you something. I've done a little annotation on it to see if this might help you. Okay, I've added a little color so you can kind of get a sense of what he was going for.
I love that you've marked up your kid's drawing.
Only digitally.
Okay.
Yes, yes. This is just my own highlighter work on my iPhone.
Oh, okay. I see. This looks now like a ground with a tree, and that center sphere is like the bushy leaves of the tree because you've painted it green.
The canopy. Yeah. So I saw a tree immediately. I was like, oh, this is a tree. And I was like, Augie, what did you make? And he said, it's a stinky tree.
Why stinky? That's hilarious.
Well, it turns out that day there was some kind of like sewage smell at the back of Kid Space. I don't know if it was it was not pleasant. I don't know if it was because it was hot or like, and there were like porta potties back there or what, but like, I guess he thought the trees were stinky. So he drew a tree with stink lines around it.
Right. Yeah. Those lines and the wisps are like the stench emanating off of the stinky tree.
Yeah.
That's so smart. Good job, kid.
Yeah. So I was really impressed. And Corey said like, oh, yeah, he was very focused. Like he made the ground very intentionally. And like, yeah, he was clearly trying to do something. So I'm impressed. Personally.
Yeah, you should be. Do they work on drawing and art in preschool?
Well, they do art in preschool. His preschool is like so play-based that they don't like work on anything. I don't think, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to impinge on his like natural curiosity. So there's no like practice, right? It's like you draw what you feel like drawing. So I think this is just his natural progression of like he probably sees other kids doing it and wants to figure out how they're doing it. That's my guess.
Cool.
Yeah. But anyway, so we've got lots of signing more and our very first representative drawing.
Awesome.
And that's about it for this week. Shauna, I want to hear what's been going on with you guys. Have you been doing any art at home?
Just the art of keeping my children happy and not at each other's throats. No, I'm just kidding.
That is a fine art.
It is.
Requires a lifetime of practice.
It really does. Okay, so a couple things to mention this week. The first is this was a big week for me because Elle started summer camp after a week off of school. Cece was in preschool and Steve went back to the office. He goes back to the office 3 days a week. So guess who had the house to herself 3 days this week?
Oh, my God. I literally can't even imagine. Like, oh, I'm so jealous. That sounds so great.
It was really awesome. Well, I shouldn't say 3 days this week because Thursday I had to keep Elle home from school because she got a sunburn at summer camp. Her first ever sunburn. I know it got progressively worse as the week was going on. Like I loaded her up with sunscreen. She's so fair, right? She's as fair as I am. And it's a swimming camp. Like that's the majority of it is swim. And then there's other sports activities and arts and crafts and it's all day. But she has probably like 3 hours in the pool on two separate occasions. Mm. And so I'm like, put so much sunscreen on. I sent her to school with sunscreen. I was like, put this on your face before you swim a second time and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's just not used to it. I think the camp is too chaotic to micromanage kids putting sunscreen back on themselves. And she came home very pink the first couple of days. Mm. And by day three, it was like so bad. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't send you back to like go back in the sun for three hours. Like, so, yeah, she was home with me on Thursday, But the point being, yeah, like I had some time alone in the house for the first time in years, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least since the pandemic, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Steve took him to the park or to run an errand here or there, you know, for an hour or something, but not like a full day. So it was pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is a feeling I didn't understand before I had kids. Because I was granted home alone time all the time. You know, I was I worked from home. Corey worked in an office and it was like all day, every day. I got to be alone in my house. And I loved it. Like, I was not one of those people who's like, I miss The Office. I was like, this is great. I would love to do this forever. And it is honestly one of the biggest things I miss now that, you know, I have kids. And especially with this pandemic and Corey works from home now. So it's like, there's just something about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to do whatever you want.
The silence.
Oh, the silence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And look, I like being around people. I love the energy of others, but it is nice to have a break with a little silence. Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, it's also like having the ability to putter around and like tidy up or, you know, do stuff. Like literally on my mind today is that like I'm due to clean out the water filter thing in my washing machine. You know what I'm talking about?
There's a water filter thing in your washing machine you're supposed to take care of?
Oh yeah, once a month, Shauna. Once a month. I don't do it once a month, but you're supposed to like drain the water out, take the filter out, like scrub it with the toothbrush and put it back once a month.
Okay, no one told me about that when I got my washing machine 5 years ago.
Well, it might be different on your machine. My machine is like a front loader. So anyway.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to look up your instructions. But it's one of those things that, like, I just can never get around to because, like, there's always a child needing something. You know, for instance, this morning I was in the kitchen trying to, like, cook some breakfast. And Sebastian's just, like, at the gate, like, crying at me, you know, like, Mama! And I hear Corey being like, she's right there, dude. She's right there. And I'm just like, I just need to put some dishes away, you know, like, oh, but when no one's home, you can do that in peace.
Exactly. Yep. You can do your stuff in peace. I did work.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what did you do with this glorious alone time?
I did work uninterrupted. I went to meetings without a kid in the background of my blurred Zoom background, like playing on a pad or whatever. Enjoyed not being asked for snacks constantly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was good. It was really nice and fun to have that time to myself. So looking forward to more of that.
I hope you got yourself snacks, though.
Lots of snacks. Snacks were had. Yes, absolutely. My other check-in is that we have switched Cece's car seat to front-facing, which was like a huge deal. You know, we tried to keep her rear-facing as long as possible. And Elle, we kept her rear-facing, I think, until she turned like 4, even though she was like very big and like her legs were crunched up back there. She never really complained about it and we just kind of like went with the flow. But we had an incident recently where it's just like push came to shove and this was the best solution. So we got a second car, right? It's a Nissan Leaf and it's pretty small. It's pretty compact. And we put Cece's extra car seat in there facing backward so that I can take her to school or whatever. We can do things separately with the kids. And I think it's because it's so small in the Leaf or something, the way that the seat is in there, it's just different than it is in the Camry. Like she's just like reclined back a little bit more. Her legs are up a little, like she doesn't like it, you know? And she's been expressing this preference for the Camry for like a couple weeks now. Like if I come and pick her up from preschool, one of the first things she always says to me, she's like, do you have the Camry or do you have the Leaf? Do you have the Camry? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I have the Leaf. You know, daddy's at whatever. Oh, and she gets so mad and like doesn't want to go in the Leaf. I'm like, come on.
No, jeez.
I know. The other day we were going to split up our duties and Steve was going to take Elle to camp and I was going to take Cece to preschool in the two separate cars. And Elle's seat is in the Camry. We don't have an extra one for her. So he takes her to camp and I'm like, all right, Cece, let's go to preschool and let's get in the car. She's like, is it the Leaf? I'm like, yeah, it's the Leaf. I could not get her in the seat. Like it just... a full on meltdown. And mornings are so stressful already for me, like trying to get the two of them out the door with all their crap for their two separate things and Steve getting ready for work. And it's just too much. And she's just had a meltdown. I'm like, I'm not going to like push her into this seat, you know? So I was like, Steve, when you get back with the Camry, you have to take Cece to school, please. Mm-hmm. So he took her to school when he got back. And I was like, you know what? I think that seat just doesn't work in that small car like that.
Yeah.
I can see that it's really just uncomfortable for her. And, you know, she's 3 and a half now. She's like, I don't know, however many pounds. She's a lot taller. And I think we just need to face it forward, because I can't do this every day. Like, I can't have this fight with her every day, and I can't have these meltdowns, and it's just not worth it, you know? And her preschool is like 2 minutes away, so the drive is like really short.
Yeah.
He's a little more safety conscious than I am, and he was resisting this for a really long time, and I just made a push for it, and I was like, I really think we need to turn it around. And so we did, and I went to pick her up from preschool that day. And first thing she says, we walk out to the parking lot, do you have the Camry? I'm like, no, I don't have the Camry, but I have a surprise for you. So we go up, she sees the Leaf. She's like, oh, the Leaf, okay. And I open the door. She's like, oh, my seat, I can see it. It's like L. And was so excited. She had to explore everything and like, oh my God. And like, she sat in it and she's like, look, I could do this with my legs. Oh, look, I could see you. Oh, look, I could touch you. Look, you can hand me snacks. And oh my God, just like, she was like over the moon about this and so excited. And it's just made our lives a lot easier. So that's where we are with the car seat.
Okay. Did you turn the Camry car seat around too? Did you go forward facing on both?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. So I think you did a great job keeping her rear facing as long as you could. I think it's one of those things where like they kind of let you know what I mean? Like you can kind of keep them in as long as they let you, and then they're not letting you anymore. Like my whole plan with turning Augie around is this, like the same thing. Like I know he's going to stop tolerating it at some point, and it's going to be my like fun new change, you know, like there's going to be a time where he's like mm-hmm. having a meltdown, not wanting to get in the car, and be like, oh, but guess what, we get to turn it around and have that sort of be a carrot to dangle. So
yeah,
we haven't gotten there yet though, and I think that's only because he doesn't really know any different, because he doesn't have an older sibling who's forward facing. Mm-hmm.
True.
So he just thinks kids face backwards. Like he doesn't realize there's an alternative.
Yeah, which is probably why we could also keep Elle facing backwards mm-hmm. until she was four. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fully anticipate Sebastian to want to turn around sooner than Augie. But yeah, we kind of have four as like a, that's what I have in my head is, you know, when I want to turn them around. To be fair, like two is the legal age you're allowed to turn them in California.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of places, it's a lot earlier than that. So mm-hmm. I think you went above and beyond, and you guys are doing everything you can to keep her safe, obviously. And now she won't hate the Leaf anymore.
Yes. Yes. She likes the Leaf now. Thank God. Oh my gosh.
So funny. She hates eco-friendly cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good job, kid. Anyway, that's us this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is OMG, I'm freaking out! Where we get to vent about the things that are freaking us out right now, parenting related, kid related, maybe just generally life related. Shauna, I want to know, what are you freaking out about?
I am freaking out about a news story that my mom shared with me. This is something that happened in her neighborhood, which is where I grew up, near Phoenix, Arizona. And the reason it freaks me out is because I have a three-year-old in preschool, right? Mm-hmm. I'd take her somewhere. I'd leave her in their care all day. I'm not there to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then I come get her and assume she's been well taken care of. Well, this story reminded me that shit can happen. Anyway, okay. So recently, people who were driving along a major street in Glendale, Arizona, which is just right next door to Phoenix.
Not my Glendale, their Glendale.
Uh-huh. Exactly. They had to stop their cars and call 911 because there were about 8 toddlers aged 1 to 3 wandering in the middle of the street.
What? Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's so terrifying.
Yes.
Why? What
exactly
the hell happened?
Why? Could you imagine even being a driver and like being like, what is going on here? And luckily, none of the babies were hurt. Okay, so that's the good news. They're fine. And the drivers did stop. They saw them. They called 911 to figure out what happened. there is a daycare along that street that they escaped from and nobody knew.
Oh,
eight
my God.
Toddlers went out the front gate of this daycare and wandered into the busy street.
Oh,
and
my God.
No one noticed until it was too late. What the caregiver said is that one of the little boys shut the door or shut the gate behind him.
Mm.
And for some reason, once the caregivers realized they were locked inside, which I'm just like, what? That seems like a poor excuse to me. I don't really understand it. But yeah, so the police had to come and escort these little kids back to their daycare.
Oh, my God. Did this daycare get shut down?
That's a good question. I don't know the fate of the daycare. Another article I read like the next day was that reporters had discovered that this daycare had had other problems, too. Like they had been reported for like a 3-year-old wandering into the kitchen of the daycare and like playing with a knife. And I don't think they do a great job keeping track of the kids. And this is like the culmination of that like history of poor oversight.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that all the parents took their kids out of there. This place is shut down. I don't know exactly. I can't find word on that, but I'm just like, oh my God, these poor babies. And like, I take my baby to her school and what would happen? It's not going to happen to Cece. They're fantastic there. And there's lots of security. Like there's a big gate that you have to even like put in a code to drive in, and it's fine. But I definitely have that moment of like, oh my God, our babies.
Well, it's just kind of like the baseline level fear anytime you are not touching your baby, right? Like anytime you don't have like an eye line on your child, because like it requires a lot of trust to send them out into the world with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And due diligence, you know, obviously you need to be looking up violations on the, you know, there's like websites for daycares and stuff, right? Where you can look up like previous violations and stuff. I also will say that like this is the thing that sucks about the like U.S. childcare system is that like it's so hard to find affordable and good childcare. You know what I mean? So like it's not like a lot of people have lots of choices for where they can send their kids. And that's just terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that video that went viral of like the guy who thought he found like a little kitten on the side of the road and then like 20 more kittens like ran out to meet him? Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It was cute. It went viral. Like he was on all the talk shows and whatever, and he rescued all the kittens, right?
Yeah.
But it's like he just stops his car and he's filming. He's like, oh, little kitty, where'd you come from? And then like out of the woods, like all these little kittens come out of and I'm basically imagining that, but with toddlers, you know, just like toddlers keep coming out of the woods.
Oh, my God. That must have been so confusing for the driver. It's just like, where are these little toddlers coming from?
I'm so glad none of them got hurt. And
oh, my God. Me too.
Yeah. Poor little babies. And also like sneaky little babies. Come on. Like that's the thing is that they are so sneaky. They find ways out of like every system, you know? So like there has to be there has to be a lot of safeguards in place. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Boy.
So that's my first one.
That raised my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry about that. Came out the gate with a heart thumper. Hopefully yours is a little more lighthearted.
Yeah. This one is really it turned out to be really silly, so you don't have to worry at all. But it definitely freaked me out in the moment, okay?
Okay.
Like, full-fledged freak out for about 30 seconds until I realized what had happened. So my first OMG I'm freaking out is, like, it was just, like, a Saturday. I was hanging out with Augie and Sebastian. Like, TV was on. We're puttering around. You know, they're just playing with toys and whatnot. And Augie says, I need a potty. I'm like, okay. And we have, like, a little toddler potty in our living room because, like, he can't be bothered to stop watching TV, right? So he, like, sits on his little toddler potty and he's pooping and, you know, I'm just letting him be, right? He likes to have, like, nice leisurely poops. So, you know, he's pooping. I can tell he has a good one in there, you know. And then finally he's like, I'm all done. Wipe my butt. He, like, always, now he demands it, right? Wipe my butt. So I'm like, okay, coming. And he like sticks his butt in the air so I can wipe it. And I look in the little potty. And this is when I freak out because in the potty is in sequence, like I can tell like from how it came out of his butt, bright orange poop and bright green poop.
What?
Like, you know, neon colors. And I was like, what the hell is happening? Like, I'm thinking, oh my God, he has some kind of like terrible disease. And like, is it blood? Is it like bile? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever consulted like charts on the internet where it's like, what does the color of my poop mean? You know, like with your kids when, you know, does green poop mean that they're sick or whatever?
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've ever, my kids, you know, eat a lot of blueberries and stuff. So like their poop will be like dark black one day because of all the blueberries. And the next day will be back to normal. And so anyway, I've consulted these charts and I remember things like, okay, like white or clay colored is supposed to be really bad. Like black poop without an explanation, like blueberries is like bad. But I was like, what does bright orange and bright green mean? What is happening? And after about 30 seconds of like legit freaking out about it, I remembered something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you a picture, not of the poop. Don't worry. It's not.
Okay, good.
I'm going to send you a picture of the explanation for why the poop was colored like this. I'm going to send two photos in the sequence that the events occurred so that you can see the root cause.
Okay, picture one. He's got a donut that is decorated like Cookie Monster with bright blue frosting.
Mm-hmm.
And then an Elmo donut with bright red frosting. That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I gotta send you a picture of after the Cookie Monster one had been consumed.
Face full of blue frosting. He looks very happy and satisfied, though.
Yeah. So so Augie has become obsessed with donuts because there's a donut shop right next to his preschool. And we made the mistake of going one day as like a treat after preschool. So now pretty much like every day after preschool, he's like, let's get donuts. And if we don't, he throws a fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on this particular day, it was Friday, and I just had a day, you know, I was tired and I was like cranky and I kind of wanted to eat my feelings. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to get donuts today. But we had to park like somewhere else. Like it didn't work to walk to the donut shop by his school. So mm-hmm. I was like, let's go to this other donut shop that I've heard lots of good things about. It's like a, you know, it's kind of like an Instagram-y donut shop. You know, they have like fancy donuts. He did not want to go. It was like he actually threw a tantrum, like threw a fit about how like he didn't want to go. He wanted to go to the other donut shop and he's not going to eat these donuts and all this stuff. And I was like, I think you're going to like the donut. Like, I think you're going to like the donuts. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And of course he did. He was very excited to see the Sesame Street donuts. And obviously he liked them. And I was trying to teach him a lesson about like trying new things. And so I didn't want to like tell him, no, he couldn't have both the donuts. So, yeah, this was Friday. And then Saturday, he had the green and orange poops, because apparently that's how they get the red dye and the blue dye got digested.
Interesting.
Yes. So
yes, those dyes are no joke. I specifically remember the Pete the Cat birthday cake that our friend Jen's son had for like his third birthday. And Elle was two. I was pregnant. We went to his little birthday party. The frosting on that was like electric blue. It looked really cool. And Elle ate a ton of it, of course, because she's a cake fiend. And the next day we were just like, what is happening in the toilet? Like, wow, that is like some, I don't know, that is like some radioactive level food dye or something. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah, it's very concentrated. And also, like, there's all these people who don't give their kids food dye because they think, like, especially the red one makes them hyperactive and stuff. I he's always hyperactive, so I can't really, like, report on that. But but it did make his poops a weird-ass color, so there's that.
That's a fun little thing to learn as a parent.
So anyway, that was my not-so-freaky OMG, I'm freaking out. Shauna, do you have another one for us?
Yes, I do. So recently in therapy, I was telling my therapist about how, you know, we're planting roots in this new house and doing all the work on the home, and it really feels like we're going to be here for a while, and how different that is for me, because I spent, I don't know, 15, 20 years of my adulthood moving around a lot, moving to new apartments and just lots of change. And I've always been a person who likes change and likes to do new things. And one quirk about me is that I hate being a regular anywhere. Like, it makes me extremely uncomfortable. To, like, go to a coffee shop and have everyone know my name.
Cheers is your nightmare.
It is. Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about it that feels too settled and stagnant. And, like, I'm literally a regular now at my pharmacy in this neighborhood. Like, they know me. And they don't even need to, like, hear my name. And I just, like, ugh, right? I cringe at that.
I never knew this about you. This is really,
really
intriguing. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I just hate it. I would much rather go to, like, different coffee shops all the time instead of, like, go to one where, anyway.
They know your order. Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm telling him about this and how this is all new for me. And he's like, well, let me ask you this question. Do you feel like, as you're approaching your 44th birthday, do you feel like you've sold out in life?
What?
And I was like,
Sorry, that's a very, very leading question.
I know, right? I was like, now that you mention it.
Oh my God.
I was just like, oh, God damn it. Like, look, my life is a lot different than it was when I was in my 20s and 30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have kids. I was moving to new neighborhoods and new apartments like every year or two and taking acting classes and improv classes and putting on shows and writing and working part-time. Like, I had a very, like, loose, unstructured life, and it was really fun. And have I given that up? Yeah, I have, right? Do I think about it very often? Not really, because I've just moved into this phase of my life, and this is what it is now. And so him just freaking calling it out like that. So I left that conversation freaking out a little bit about what the answer to that is for me. Because, you know, the rest of the day I was like, well, have I sold out? My life is different, right? Is that really selling out? Like, what did I give up? You know, like, I don't know. I like my life.
Yeah, what does it even really mean to sell out? Like, you know, you're not a band, right? You're not like, you know, you used to be punk rock, but now you're, you know, doing ads for Vyvanse on television or whatever. I don't even know what Vyvanse treats at this point. But like, yeah, I guess, like, what does it mean in the context of being Shauna Maiko?
I think because, like, I have a corporate job now, right? I have a 40-hour a week job. I have a family that I'm committed to. I have a house that I'm haven't moved from in several years, and I'm not going to move from. So maybe he meant just like, did I give up that freedom for all of this stability? And maybe he was just trying to ask me in a way like, how do I feel about it? Like, how am I okay with it? I don't know. So I really reflected on it all day and was kind of freaked out about what the answer was. But the answer did become crystal clear to me that night. So at around 8:15 p.m., Cece woke up screaming from a bad dream. Like, she'll have night terrors sometimes and be inconsolable. But this was like she actually had a bad dream and was scared and was calling for me. And so I went into her room and I was able to comfort her, which is awesome because a lot of the times I can't comfort her when she's so worked up, especially in a night terror. And she was like so happy to see me, and I was snuggling with her and helping calm my baby down, and like that felt so good. And after she calmed down, she was like sleeping again, you know, her head against my chest, and her little lullabies are playing, and like her little moon and stars projector like rotating on the ceiling, and I'm watching the moon and stars, and like everything literally felt perfect.
Aww.
I was just like, I did not sell out, right? I changed my life, but it's something I wanted. It's something I worked really hard for, right? Like having a family didn't come easily to me. And like buying a house wasn't exactly easy. You know, I don't have all the money in the world and all this stuff. But like, these are the things I wanted. Like I've always wanted a family and kids. And I have my two wonderful children and I have like a nice neighborhood that I live in. And so what if I don't spend all my free time taking improv classes or going to the gym? Like those things were awesome at that time in my life, but I've just moved on from that. And I have something different now. And even though it's challenging sometimes and can be tricky, like overall, I love it. Like I'm so happy with what I have. And I was so glad to relieve that fear and pressure of like what the answer to that question was going to be with this experience that just like solidified it for me. And I just felt a lot better after that experience. And like I knew that this was perfect for me.
That's some like Jedi mind trick stuff going on with your therapist, though. Because like it sounds like he knew what he was doing, you know? Wanted to send you in a little tailspin until you like really understood the core of what you love about your life.
Oh, man. It worked. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more you're right. Because he started that conversation with, he's like, so your birthday is approaching. Are you reflective like around your birthday? And I'm like, no, I'm not.
No. Mm-mm.
Nope. Just like it's a fun celebration. I live life. And he worked it into this thing where I became reflective, right? He got me. He's good.
He got you. That's
he
too
did.
Funny. Well, that sounds lovely. The other thing I've been reminding myself a lot is like, you know, because I don't really think of it as selling out, but I do have these moments where I'm like, I just want to do crafts, you know, like I just want to like take a class of, you know, I want to take a glass fusing class or pottery or something, you know. And I keep remembering that, like, soon enough, my kids are going to be, you know, teenagers in college. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to want anything to do with me. I'm going to have plenty of time to take a pottery class. You know what I mean? Like, it's a season right now where they need us so acutely. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to last forever. So there's no reason to get, you know, all torn up about, quote unquote, selling out. It's just we're in a different season.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll probably come sooner than college, too, right? They become more and more independent. I'm already seeing it with my girls at 3.5 and 6.5. And so I'm sure that if I really, really wanted to take a writing class or something, I could figure it out in my life right now. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had that nice moment. And also that Cece, you know, got to be comforted out of her bad dream. Poor thing.
I know. All right. So I think you have one more for us. But should we take a break and come back with it?
Yes, we should.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lolavie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter Lolavie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
Lolavie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolavie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and Laura has one more OMG I'm freaking out for us. Laura, what are you freaking out about?
I am freaking out about sibling injuries.
Ooh, have your boys been beating up on each other over there?
No, they very lovingly try to destroy each other. Like, they try to hug each other to death, basically.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. This is something that's been on my mind for a while, you know, basically since Sebastian was born, you know, when he was a little itty bitty tiny baby and Augie was very sweet with him. But like, you always have to be like, not too hard, you know, don't hug too hard. Don't, you know, stay away from his mouth and nose. And I was actually going to talk about it way back then, but we didn't have time or, you know, whatever. I pushed it aside. And I'm glad I did, because now I have so much more to talk about in relation to this, because they are now like officially playing together, which is awesome, right? Like, they chase each other around and they actually, like, it's not just parallel play. Like, they are engaging with each other and it's mostly physical play, like chasing or dancing or pulling on each other or whatever. But it very quickly can turn dangerous. I'm going to send you a picture of them in one of their, like, really good play modes. Okay, so I'm sending you a picture of them playing together the other day.
They look like they're having fun together. Like they're battling some enemy or something. Yeah, Augie has this little blaster.
Yeah, Augie got a broken water gun from another mom at the park. He was playing with it and the mom was like, you can just have that. I was like, great. So now he has this broken water gun that is his blaster. And Sebastian's like crouched next to them and looks like they're fighting the bad guys together.
Yes.
You may also note that they are standing on top of the ottoman.
Ah, yes.
So, and when they wrestle, they don't really like take note of being on a high surface.
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of bonks, and they do this thing too where they just like chase each other around the house, you know, back and forth into each other's rooms and stuff. And then Augie will try to close the door and I'm like worried they're going to slam the door on each other. But all this is like was kind of just general anxiety about them getting hurt. And then I found an article, because of course I'm like, well, I gotta see if this is like an actual thing. Like, do kids get hurt more when they have a sibling?
Yeah, I would say.
And you are correct, because there is a study from the year 2000.
Oh my gosh, really? Oh, wow.
Called The Effect of an Older Sibling and Birth Interval on the Risk of Childhood Injury.
Oh no.
And they had like 3,000, more than 3,000 cases of injury and death, unfortunately, not a lot of deaths, thankfully, with kids 6 years of age or younger against 8,000 something controls of kids who didn't get injured. And they discovered that the chances of it says, here's what it says. The adjusted odds ratio for injury in children with an older sibling was 1.5. So I'm guessing that means that you are 1.5 times higher, more likely to get injured if you have an older sibling.
Uh-huh.
And the effect was greatest in children under 2 years of age. Check. Okay. We got one of those. And yeah. in those with a birth interval of less than 2 years. So that's not a check. Ours are mine are like exactly 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. So it also said as the number of older siblings increased, so did the risk of injury.
Oh, man.
So their theory about it, the conclusion of these researchers is basically like kids play with each other and get hurt. But the thing that really causes sibling injuries to be like more common is that parents have their attention divided. So you have lots of kids, you can't pay attention to all of them, and then they go and do something stupid and get hurt. And that's the cause of most of the injuries. So
it's our fault. That's
it's our fault. But it did remind me that, like, I can chill out a little bit with the kids playing with each other. Because it's like, if I'm paying attention to them and making sure they don't do anything dangerous, like, they're not necessarily going to kill each other in the process of playing.
Yeah.
Although, that said, a friend of mine from Mommy and Me class, her 16-month-old poked her 4-year-old in the eye the other day. And he got a corneal abrasion and had to, like, go to the ER and all this stuff. And so I'm just like, oh, man. Like,
oh, my gosh. I remember when I was about 5 years old, I was playing with my little brother, who was probably like 2, 2.5. And I remember we were like playing behind the couch or something, like that was our hiding spot. And he had, for whatever reason, he got a hold of like a pair of pliers.
Oh, my God.
And stabbed me in the ear with them.
Oh, my God.
My ear was bleeding and like, the stuff kids get up to, man. I mean, yeah.
The only time Jeff like ever hurt me was unintentional. My mom had given him a spray bottle to help clean because, you know, kids loved helping clean. Yeah. And he thought it was water and it actually had like an ammonia cleaner in it. And he sprayed me right in the face with
it. Oh, my gosh. OK, that is your mom's fault. Sorry, not sorry.
That is 100% my mom's fault. But I was fine. My eyesight is fine. So and poor Jeff, he didn't know. He really I still remember to this day, like him being so sad about it. He really didn't mean to hurt me. So,
yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, that's what I'm freaking out about. Anyway, shall we have a little palate cleanser and move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. All right. We end every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. And Laura, I want to know, what do you have for us, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a very minor BFP, but it made me happy. So I wanted to share.
A minor league BFP. Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah. Okay. So as you know, our kitchen is done and we are like able to cook and
Yay.
Just have fun in our kitchen again. And as part of that, I brought the learning tower up from the basement. Like, we haven't used the learning tower since we moved to this new house, actually, because we didn't have a good place for it. And I wanted to make waffles, and I was like, hey, kids, do you want to help me with making waffles? And Augie was like, yeah, because he always wants to help in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I got the learning tower out. But of course, like, I was going to put Sebastian in the learning tower, and I was going to have Augie just, like, stand on a step stool. But, like, that did not go over well. No, I want the learning tower, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my BFP is, it turns out they both fit in the learning tower, at least right now.
Oh, and they don't cause sibling injury to each other while they're up there together?
Not yet.
That's good.
But I'm going to send you a picture. And this is why it's my BFP, because it's just so cute, the two of them, Aww. Like, helping with cooking in the learning tower.
Aw, they fit in there like two little peas in a pod.
They both have whisks.
That's cute, with their little whisks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were able to, quote unquote, help. Sebastian was dipping his hand into the raw egg and trying to eat it. So I did have to change the layout a little bit. But I'm actually really excited to have them, like, both in the learning tower. And I was thinking, like, oh, do I need to buy two learning towers? It takes up so much space and is so expensive and blah, blah. So this is a good solution for right now.
Yay.
Yay. And I should also say that I've been sharing so many like photos and videos and stuff in this episode. And I think what we need to start doing is putting them on our website. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Definitely. Yeah. Listeners want to see what you're talking about. So we should definitely do that.
Okay. So listeners, if you want to see what we've been talking about, just go to bigfatpositivepodcast.com/EP-211, EP-211, or there will be a link in the show notes. That's probably an easier way to do it. But yeah, you'll be able to see these pictures of Augie and Sebastian looking adorable, helping with the waffles, the Sunday waffles.
Yummy.
So that's my BFP. What about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP also.
Ooh.
My BFP is that I just had a great weekend. Like, it was fun. We had a lot to do. No one was sick. It was like, what rare occurrence is that? Friday night, I went to an axe throwing birthday party for a friend in my neighborhood. And, you know, it's very trendy right now, like these axe throwing parties. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be into axe throwing or whatever. Uh-huh. Might be a good way to get some rage out. Who knows? It ended up being so fun. They make it like a competitive thing because we had enough people where we had like two teams and like you compete with the other team to see like how many points you get with throwing the axe. And if you get it in the bullseye, you get more and all this stuff. And I'm pretty competitive. Like I do.
Yes.
I don't know if you know that.
I do. I didn't know about not liking being a regular, but I do know that you are competitive.
So as soon as like there was a game aspect to this, I was like, oh, I'm in, and rallied with my teammates. And it was just really fun. I got to meet more people in my neighborhood. It was through my Buy Nothing group. Like a lot of people in my Buy Nothing group have become friends. And I'm like, I want to meet more people in the neighborhood. So that was really fun. Here, I'll show you a picture.
Okay.
And maybe I'll also share it on the website of me getting a bullseye on my second throw.
What? Are you a like axe throwing prodigy?
Apparently I am, Laura. Look at this.
Dang, girl. I mean, I have to trust that you didn't just put that there because in this picture you are standing just holding it on the bullseye. But I'm assuming that you are just taking a like celebration shot.
Yes.
Very awesome. Yes. Wow.
It was really fun. And I actually like look forward to axe throwing again in the future. Yeah. And then the rest of the weekend was fun. We had you guys over on Saturday, and then we had like a little birthday party with some other neighborhood friends on Sunday for a little 2-year-old, and just lots of fun stuff. No sick kids, no sick family members. And I enjoyed my weekend. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Question. Is it required that you wear flannel to the axe throwing party?
It's encouraged. I believe that the establishment said, wear your flannel. And the group was like, let's wear flannel. And nobody wore flannel except me. but I did get a lot of kudos from the employees about my flannel. And I felt very cool about it.
It's not like one of those fancy clubs where like if the men show up without a jacket, they provide you with a jacket. They didn't have like the provided flannel.
Nobody provided flannel. No.
Well, it still seems fun even without the mandatory flannel.
Yes, yes. We should do it sometime.
Yeah. No, I'm down. I'm down.
But yeah, that's it for me. And I think that's it for our episode. But Laura, I would love to end with a 5-star review, and it's your turn to read one. What do you got for us?
I do. This one is from Anne in Ann Arbor. It's titled Favorite Podcast of All Time, 5 stars. I was the first of my friends to have a baby, and it was peak pandemic, so it was an especially lonely time. But with this podcast, I felt like I had Laura and Shauna by my side through it all. They are so real and vulnerable on the show, it's like chatting with girlfriends, especially because my child is a few weeks younger than Laura's youngest. I look forward to new episodes every week and save them to listen to on a walk. It's a weekly treat for me. Thank you for such an amazing show, Laura and Shauna. Oh, thanks, Anne.
And how cute that her baby's so close to Sebastian in age. I love that.
Yeah, so cute. All right.
So cute. Listeners, if you'd like us to read your 5-star review on our show, head on over to Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Leave us a 5-star review and talk about what you like about our show. This is so helpful to help other people discover our show and want to take a chance on listening and become part of our community. It's really making a difference, you guys, sending in those 5-star reviews. So please do us a favor, head on over and leave that review, and we might read it on an upcoming episode. If you have any OMGs, I'm freaking out, that you want to share with us, we would love to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo into there. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, no joke, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, because it's a private group. You need to answer those 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And then once you do that, we'll approve you and send you straight through to all the wonderful, wonderful conversations we're having in there.
Our show's produced by Laura Bierich, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.